QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. A lot of good information there about the club. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. None. Are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KO6Q. All right. No announcements here, other than the fact that it seems like we're having a lot of earthquakes everywhere. So tonight's topic will be earthquakes and ham radio. Ham radio, a very important tool when the big one hits. Not if it hits, but when. All right, and moving on down here to our net roster. I will start out with KA6CIA, George.
And Tom, KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Glad to have you out there from Lucerne, I guess. Let's see. Not sure if he's out there. Let's see. KJ6HDS, Mike.
And Tom in the net, KJ6HCS, no traffic.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. How about WA6ITC, Rod?
Yeah, from Lake Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you there from Lake Williams. How about KJ6FIL, Mike from Edwin's, who assisted me on the early edition of Tech Tuesday.
Evening all, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. All right. Let's see. I think we got KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK maybe out there.
This is KJ6KDK.
And KJ6KDL.
And good evening, Jim and Rosemary. Looks like you made it back. Glad you had your trip without any worries. All right, how about W6GZI? Let's see, we got Frank. I don't hear Frank out there. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Evening, KI6IQA.
And good evening, Kelly. Glad to have you out there. We'll give him one more shot. K9AOG Steve. No Steve out there tonight. How about K6GBL, Ron, in Torrance or Green Valley, one of the two.
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is Ron, K6GBL from Torrance this evening.
Okay, Ron, well, I think you're safe. There are no tsunami warnings for the Pacific Coast here anyway, so. All right, and I think you're in with it a little bit there. 86PL, Harold, Riverside.
86
Bill. And good evening there, Harold. How about KJ6RAY, Ray? I'm sure he'll join us. He's out there, usually mobile. Don't think Quint's out there. I think he's going to doggy school. We'll give him a call anyway. K6LCS, Quint. I know Quint out there. Yeah, he's going to school to learn how to take care of his doggy. We'll let him explain that. Anyway, KJ6PYV, Dave.
Evening, Tom Annette, KJ6PYV, checking in.
John. Good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. Let's see, we got K6YNW, Chris. All right, KO6Q here, Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. How about W6POO, Chip?
Hey, evening, Tom and Annette. Tech Tuesday, this is W6POO, about 6 miles due south of the San Andreas Fault. Back to you.
Chip, you might want to get a hold of Chris. You know, both of you guys got to realize that Caltech, Dr. Lucy Jones says, you are ground zero for the next one. But anyway, all right, that's okay. You'll ride it like a wave. All right, how about KD6LAN Bill?
Yeah, good evening all, KD6LAN, and I'm either in Boulder Bay or Big Bear Lake, one of the two. KD6LAN.
If you're in the lake, I suggest you get out. It's pretty cold. All right, Bill, Boulder Bay, glad to have you out there. Just in case he's out there, how about KJ6QYN Shelley? I don't hear Shelley out there. Let's skip on over here to AE6CK. Let's see if we got Victor out there. I don't hear Victor. How about KA6ROD Rod?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Rod, I think you and I, last two people, are going to have to worry about tsunamis, that's for sure. All right, glad to have you out there. How about W6JET? Let's see, we got Rob out there this evening. I don't hear him out there. All right, that is most of people. Got a couple over here on this other sheet. Let's see. Ah, here we go. How about KK6FJE? Let's see, we got Zach. Don't see Jack out there. Zach, I don't hear Jack out there. Or Zach or Jack. All right. How about KK6HQB Bob?
Yeah, good evening, Tom and the group. KK6HQB.
All right there, Bob. Sounds like you got your echoing up and echoing and linking. All right. Earlier, that is. Okay. Well, let's see. I know he went off the hill. I'm not sure if he's out there. Let's see, we got W2PFA Art.
Being down on the net, W2PFA, and we are here.
Okay, Art. Hope everything went all okay today. Let's see, I know he's out there sometimes. Let's see, N7WNO. Mike. Don't see Mike out there. How about W6OXA, Omar? All right, how about W6TYS? And John, I don't intentionally leave you to the last. I'm honest.
Last works, W6CYS, checking in.
John, was that you playing with APRS here just a minute ago? Come on, confess.
Well, actually, I wasn't. I've been getting ready for school tomorrow all day long.
Okay. Who knows? Anyway, I think Rob said he can tune in. We get the idea immediately if he does, but it's not a big deal. Anyway, alrighty. Well, I know I have other names here. I got a slew of them, but let's just see who's out there tonight. Anybody want to check in as a guest, or if I missed you? Really sorry about that. Come on back to KF6Q.
KJ6RAY Mobile.
All right, got you here. Okay, glad to have you out there. Anybody else?
Kilo 6 Delta Mike Tango.
Hey, DMT, got you hooked in this evening. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else?
K6YNW.
K6YNW, Chris. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else? Well, I think we got just about everybody. And if there's others out there, feel free to jump in there anytime. Not a problem. Anyway, I think one of the things we've had a lot of lately, and then just we had just not locally, but number 8.2 it was upgraded to off the coast of Chile, earthquake. And Bill, sorry, I led you wrong. That is not the San Andreas, but it is a fault that actually follows into the San Andreas. It just follows all along the coast there. And Chile is known to have big earthquakes, but they've been having a lot of big earthquakes lately. So, and this one, actually, they were semi-prepared. They did have a warning a couple weeks ago that there was a high probability, and there it is. And unless anybody else knows different, I think the last I heard there were ranging between 6 feet to 8 feet, couple tsunami waves coming in just in the local coast. Not sure if there's anything else developing on that, but like I said, this is something that just happened within the last hour and a half, 2 hours. So there'll be more information. Anyway, La Habra and that area, yeah, they haven't had earthquakes in, I think, 80 years, 90 years, and then all of a sudden, here they are. Bill, you and I were talking about that, and isn't that kind of linked in with some of the other faults, like Newport and all that? I'm going to hand it over to KD6LAN for a bit.
I'm sorry, Tom, I heard you call me, but what were you saying?
Wake up. It's too early to fall asleep. No, I said with the La Habra earthquakes, and I think you and I were talking about that, how those are tied in. You want to just dabble on that just for a minute with that and the Newport and all that good stuff?
Well, if I remember my schooling right, I believe the La Habra quake was on the Whittier Fault, or what is known as the Whittier Fault. Getting to the one that we had today, there is an extension of the fault line that we have here in California that, oh God, talk about a brain fart, the major fault line we have here in California. It goes out to sea, it extends through the Inglewood-Newport Fault, or Inglewood-Newport Fault is just off of it. But it also extends all the way down the western coast of the United States, down past Baja and into southern South America. And I believe, if I remember correctly, it comes back up down just off the coast of Chile. That's why Chile has so many quakes.
Yeah, and if anybody was having difficulty following those directions, that's okay. There are a bunch of faults. Go to USGS and look up on their map there, and they've got some blow-ups of all the faults. You would be amazed. We all know the San Andreas and the Hemet and the Whittier Narrows Fault, and the Inglewood Fault and the Newport Fault. There's a bunch of them. But yeah, with all this stuff, that's just a few. It is just all over the place. And Northridge Fault, by golly. They just couldn't figure out why those rocks were sticking vertical instead of horizontal, but they found out. Anyway, yeah, I think with all that said, we have, and I'm not a geologist by any sense, how does this tie in with ham radio? Well, you know what? We may be due sooner than we think of that, and John, working with ECS and everybody else we do out there, what would be the first thing that we have to think about besides the shaking? John, W68CYS from KO6Q.
Not really sure where you're going with this, but the first thing we really should be thinking about is ourselves and our families and our own conditions before we launch into our rescue mode. Am I going the right direction? W6CYS.
I think I would take care of my own family and house before I'd be rushing off anywhere. But that is right there. Before that happens, is it good to see what we don't have handy after the earthquake? Or is this a good time right now?
Boy, right now. For sure, right now. I mean, I'm effectively sitting on my stock of water. I've got food in the cupboard. And we need to get our ham radio go kit, our go bag, ready to go, along with our go book that Art gave us the beginnings of. So, yeah, so that's the important thing, is to be ready, is to prepare. Because once it hits, as I learned in 1992, there's no preparing. It's here, and there's not any warning. It just comes, and it's all very exciting. Back to you, Tom, 36CYS.
KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday that we can. Yeah, and I think that stuff that Art has for the ACS group is great, what we're working on there. But the general public, which is not ACS, so they don't have that book. So we're going to work into some of that. Water, and water is important. Yeah, you may have water in the street. Not sure if you got a broken line, you may be getting mud up through that pipe. Who knows? That's not good. Couple good things there. Always look into keeping some water on hand, but a lot of good filter systems out there too. And John, I think as we go over this stuff, which I'd like you to help me with this just a little bit here, one thing I realized right off the bat, no matter what we do for preparedness, it's never going to be enough, number one. We're going to get close. And some of this stuff is not free, costs money. So what you should do is just as you can, think of a few things. And electricity, batteries. John, how are you set up for power, batteries, and things like that? I'll hand it back over to you. KF6Q.
Yeah, pretty good there. I keep 4 32 amp hour batteries on charge at all times. I have the ability to invert power to 110 from those batteries. Also, most of my stuff will actually run on, all the radio stuff will run on 12 volts. Also have a 1,000-watt Honda generator, which won't run anything serious, but it would at least keep me going. Won't run my refrigerator, but it will run all my radios and charge my batteries. So that's kind of really what I'm thinking about. I have gasoline for it, which I have put stable, which keeps it, most gasoline doesn't last more than a couple of months at best. This keeps it good and ready to use for a year. So that's my power stuff. I think I'm pretty much ready to go power-wise. W6CYS.
I think somebody was trying to get in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, just now that I'm paying attention, just a little added. If those of you that don't have a way of recharging your radios, be aware that the Harbor Freight and some of the tool shops have the little solar cells that I use one on my boat, and I've never had to recharge the batteries on my boat. But you can also use them for hooking up to your 12-volt charging system, like to hook up a cigarette lighter to them and keep your handhelds charged and going, keep battery going for a mobile unit that you may have in your garage like I do. Very handy, and they're only like $40. 86LAN.
Yeah, very good point there, Bill, as we're going to be kind of going through just about everything we can this evening on being prepared. And for anybody up here in the Valley, if you're up here on April 26th, starting at 10 o'clock through 4 o'clock, April 26th, that's a Saturday, there's the, I'm just going to call it the Disaster Preparedness Fair. But it's something in that. If I got that wrong, David, I'm sorry. But anyway, it's all about this stuff. And it's good information. It's just free handout stuff. It'll be at the community church parking lot, which is basically right across from where Knickerbocker comes into Big Bear Boulevard. And that's right there. If you know where Knickerbocker is, that's where First Mountain Bank and whatnot is there. Anyway, that's on April 26th. So good information there. May see you out there. I'll be there. Come on out. Let me reset. Let's get into this. You know, obviously, the first thing that's going to keep you alive is water, but not if you're out in the snow. So we'll assume that we at least have a shelter of some sort, that we're not up here, not like down the hill up here. Yes, you'll freeze to death at night. And the next day, you'll get a suntan. This is the weirdest weather we've ever had. With that said, so water is a very important dry goods, food, things like that, also that are have a very long shelf life, good to have on hand. That may even just be a pack of crackers or a case of them, whatever suits you. Something is better than nothing. The reset. As we get into generators, just a little thing here, a little note. We've talked about actually conversion kits that actually let your generator gasoline run on propane or natural gas. Just as an FYI, the per gallon, how does that equate? Well, propane actually produces just a little bit less energy than what the gasoline is going to do. Not a lot, but a little bit less. And also natural gas is also a little bit less. But gasoline generators are going to be good as long as you have gas. Gasoline is good, and it's in your can. And I do believe, I'm going to look up this conversion. You get about 1 kilowatt per hour per pint, I believe it is, or a pound. We'll just call it a pint of gasoline. So basically, you got 8 pints for the gallon, and I got to have that right. You get about somewhere between, and that's at 1 kilowatt, you'll get somewhere between 8 hours per gallon. You got a 5 gallon gas can, you know, you're going to be good for a while. But don't quote me, those are not hard numbers, they're approximate. Propane will do the same. So basically, if you do run out of gas and you have a conversion kit and you've got propane, that's good. You run out of propane, then you got natural gas, and the natural gas line is still alive. Bill, what else can we do with propane? You got a good collection going. You have lamps, you have heaters. Share that information with us.
Yeah, well, I've got, also have a propane conversion for my gas generator. And like you were saying, the 5 gallon tank on the generator, gas tank, will run 8 hours on mine anyway, under a full load, which is 7,000 watt plus. And with the propane conversion, it's either or. But if I run out of gasoline, I can run it off of propane with the flip of the switch. And they're saying that it's going to be the same amount of hours. I don't know how they came up with it, but they're saying it's going to be the same amount of hours on propane under a full load as it is under gasoline.
Yeah, I mean, it's the research I did, it's very close. It's just a whisker less, and I'm not sure why, but it's very close. And that's good. Now, like say, 7 hours or 8 hours under a full load, if you actually drop that back to a kilowatt, it's proportional, and then you're right back there with the, you know, the gallon per hour per whatever. But anyway, and that's all good. And you know what? Great little catalyst propane heater attachments that screw right onto your propane bottle. They're what, 20, 30, 35 bucks, something like that, Bill? I'm not sure.
Well, I've got away from the catalytic heaters because of the danger inherent with them. You can go to a radiant type heater, which you can buy at Butcher's or Kmart or any really any outdoor place, and they don't have the danger with the carbon monoxide that the catalytics do, and they'll run forever. As long as you keep them on low on a propane tank.
Okay, and that's my bad. I said catalytic, I meant the kind that you have, which is the basic radiant heat. But good mentioning that anyway. I'm glad we brought that up together, that the catalysts do have those features of CO, good old CO, which is bad. Anyway, with that said, so your propane really is a couple of functions there. You've got that. Coleman lanterns, gone are the days. Of course, I think I have a few around here of kerosene, which can spill and ignite. That's very bad, especially if it's a glass container. But the new propane run, or there are also LEDs, propane lamps. They're not propane, they're lamps, but they're LEDs, and they'll run off of 8 cells or something like that, and they're good too, with as a backup to that. So those batteries, of course, could be rechargeable. So we get in this endless loop where things kind of overlap on each other of light, heat. You know, you've got that radiant heater. I'll bet you could tilt that back, put a frying pan on it. Or I'm joking about that, but they also have propane, just about everything. So, yeah, we're talking about if you went out and bought all this stuff, yeah, it's a lot of money. So think about just a couple basic things. KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group. A couple basic things like batteries, just as a start, flashlights and batteries, things like that. If you get LED stuff, it's a lot better. Your battery's going to last a lot longer. You're going to be a lot better off. If you have rechargeable batteries, good. Keep in mind, a lot of these you need to maintain a charge. They will usually discharge by themselves. Not all, but a lot of them do. So, yeah, you may, I know the old nickel cabs, you could charge up and 30 days later they were dead as a doornail. Anyway, anybody else, anything to add there with the battery situation or generator situation, please come back. Open for questions or comments. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
LAN.
Yes, sir, Bill.
Yeah, sorry, Tom, I think we doubled. I was just going to also add on to my last comment. I am lucky enough to have a spare battery, a 12-volt battery, which I keep fully charged. I already mentioned the Harbor Freight solar cell. If we do lose power long enough that I can't charge it and I don't want to fire up and waste the gasoline in my vehicle to charge it, I can charge that battery off of a solar cell and run lights, run my radios if necessary, or even recharge my handhelds off of that. KD6LN.
And Bill, I think with solar, and we've talked about solar before here, you can have a blizzard. Yeah, you're not going to get any solar off of that, but the day the blizzard's over, bright sunshine. You can have an earthquake. Earthquakes don't create clouds unless it's caused by a volcano, which is bad. But with that said, yeah, the solar, never-ending source of energy, at least while the sun's up, something to look into. At least some sort of backup panel is good. And the prices are coming down. Just be careful what you buy out there. Of course, there's still scalpers charging a lot for very little. But with that said, yeah, it's always a good backup. You start thinking in long terms of weeks, not days, but weeks. And sometimes, depending on the severity, actually with power, could go into months. So with that said, you gotta think ahead, just do the best you can do to stay as prepared as you can. Like I said, the disaster preparedness fair, or whatever that is we're having, good stuff there. Please come by if you can and look at all the stuff that's there. A lot of groups that actually are keyed up for this are going to be out there representing that. Anyway, with that said, I think we've got a lot of good stuff there we've covered. Like I said, that's according to Dr. Lucy Jones, right after the La Habra quakes. Let me reset. As we have been quiet on earthquakes here for about 20 years, the Northridge stuff, we've had a few this and that around Southern California, basically quiet. Now we've had a few out there, let's say out there by North Hollywood, that end of town. We've had a few on old faults that haven't had any movement in that one particular area lately. This is, as they start to build up, as she says, when we have more quakes, we tend to have more quakes. And we've been quiet for a long time. Let me reset. So I'll have to admit to you right now, I am probably not prepared. It's hard to have all your ducks in a row, but you know, you can work on a few things, and we've got water here, and we've got some batteries here, and we've got some spare fuel, you know, and generators, but we have those. We have a long way to go. Start looking around too about what's going to fall and hit you on the head, or what's going to fall this glass and break that you're going to step on in the middle of the night. You know, that what happened to him? Well, he survived the quake, but he bled to death. Very, very bad. Don't want to do that. Anyway, John, anything else you'd like to add in there? Because you were up here with the 92 quake. I'm not sure if I'm sure I haven't covered everything, but anything you'd like to add? W6CYS, KF6Q.
Yes, there is, actually. I did want to mention also that I do have, in addition to all my batteries, et cetera, solar power that is specifically designed to recharge batteries. But the thing that I would most like to get across, and I really hit me at home when I got to see a simulation of what will happen when the big one hits down the hill, and that is that no matter what happens up here, how bad it is or isn't up here, we definitely, absolutely will be on our own. And not for days, for weeks, we will be on our own. They're down the hill, they're going to be so overwhelmed, they won't even know we exist. So whatever happens, we're going to make it happen. And the second thing is speaking of gasoline, make sure you keep your car over half full at all times. It may be your only way to get out of here. Anyway, that's it. W6CYS.
Comment.
Hey, John. Yes, Harold, go ahead.
It's, the San Andres runs, it ends down by the Mexican border, just before you get around Salt Sea somewhere. But just below that, right at the border, there's another major quake runs down through Mexico. But north of, it starts at about the coast of the far northern California, somewhere between Crescent City and San Francisco, there's another major fault that runs 50 to 60 miles off the coast up, I believe, to the Canadian border, called the Cascadia Subduction. That is even worse than San Andres. An article I read by, I guess it was USGS, said if that goes off, possibility will set off the San Andres. But if that goes off, the West Coast can expect a tidal wave that will reach inland, at least in areas 128 miles. So you might want to keep a canoe handy. That's a little joke. But one thing that you want to make sure you have plenty of is as much cash money as you can protect and keep track of. Because you're not going to be able to get anything out of the bank or anywhere else. And you're probably not going to be able to buy gasoline because they don't have manual operation on anything anymore. Everything is off of computers and electricity. I heard today that if this little fault that went off the other day goes completely off, it's going to be worse than anything the San Andres could come up with because it's only like 4 or 5 miles deep. So, and stuff over here moved. I have a storage unit I went over this afternoon and stuff had moved dramatically inside the 86 mil.
Good stuff there, Harold. Yeah, it's, there's so much out there that we don't really know about, or you know, it doesn't really come to light until something like this happens. And let me just reminisce a little bit here. I'm going to say back about 3-4 years ago up here in Big Bear, anybody who was in Big Bear, at that time we had like 5 feet of snow. Well, we all remember that and what had happened, but I'm going to just relay that week. Monday of that week, of course, all the newscasts and weather reports were predicting that, you know, it was just going to really snow like crazy. Well, Monday, we really didn't get much of anything. It was one of those, you know, it's half an inch. Tuesday, not much of anything. And, of course, it was moving our way. But Wednesday about noonish, up here, I was over at a buddy's house. We were working on his house. And started to snow a lot. And from Wednesday, I said, you know what, I better get back to the house. And at that point in time, I think we had an inch or maybe inch and a half everywhere. That was it. It was actually a pretty dry winter up to that point. You know, we had other stuff, but, you know, the streets were open and the normal stuff we have off the streets. Let me reset. Well, that's when it didn't stop snowing. I mean, we get snow and it snows and it stops. The snow is a little more and it stops. It did not stop. It kept snowing. Thursday morning, it was still snowing, and it was now, you know, a good foot and a half deep and getting deeper. You know, it just tried shoveling out some of the, it was snowing faster than I could even remove it. So I kept one section open and just so we could get in and out. The snow plows were working, the berms were starting to get high. And of course, they were going to just get so high up here that literally they were 8 foot high on my street. Snow now became a problem all over town of removing it. And the first thing we found out up here in Big Bear as a community, diesel fuel for the snow plows, they ran out. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Not right away, but it got worse. And the roads got so overwhelmed with, I'm going to call it avalanches from the snow on all three entrances into Big Bear. So there were no gasoline trucks, there were no food trucks, there was no traffic going in and out. And at this point, within a few days, not much, actually by Friday or Saturday, the people that were up here were buying gas. Guess what happens when everybody wants to buy gas? And there is no gas. A lot of people don't realize how often the gas stations are filled up. And when there's a run on gas, they run out. And the diesel fuel runs out. So this all happened and really from Wednesday to Saturday. Okay, before, and I think it was within a few days, we got some stuff coming in through the back grade escorting up the hill. So let me reset. Since they were able to do that, then of course we had fuel, and the stores, of course the shelves were not empty, but there was definitely a lack of the normal, hey, the shelves are full, wait a minute, shelves don't have much on them. And this is all in a matter from Wednesday to Saturday. So what do you think will happen if something happens where traffic comes to a halt, whether earthquake or up here, and you're talking a week or two? Yeah, it starts to get pretty scary. And let me reset. And this is the weak thing that we talk about. The electricity, the main lines coming into Southern California, keep in mind, San Onofre is down. I think it's down for good. I'm not sure. It's on its way out. A lot of power comes through the mountains up here. And through Cajon Pass, those lines will probably be down. And they'll be down for a long time. So everybody's going to be without power. There's going to be no gas. It's going to be a little bit on the crazy side. Let me reset. So can you prevent this? There's nothing we can do. It's going to happen. That's it. So the best you can do is be prepared. Like I say, if that quake goes and there's a big tsunami, tidal wave down there. Harold, you're living in the wrong end of the mountain. It's on the bottom. So anyway, I knew there was a reason we moved up here. But just do the best you can. Try to be prepared. Things may get a little bit tough out there. There's going to be so many things going wrong and not enough people to make it right. Anyway, any more comments on that, please come back to KF6-2. ahead.
Jason, when they start putting back up the power lines, you're not going to be the first person to get it. They have already laid out the priorities for returning all utilities, and your house will be the last one on the line. First thing will be hospitals. And then probably the mayor's house, his office. I don't know about that for sure, but there will be priorities, and houses will be the last on the list. So when you see the people putting up lines, why, they're going somewhere besides where you wanted them to. So you have to remember that, 86 PL.
So as it all boils down to that, we've experienced up here, a lot of people up here in Big Bear are on natural gas, a lot of people are on propane. If you're on the outskirts of a lot of areas, you're on propane. And even though the California winter was mild, it was so bizarre in the Midwest and back. The cost of propane skyrocketed, and then it was just simply unavailable. For some people, that's okay. Well, you can't barbecue, your propane bottle's empty. Many, many people survive with that. It's their heat. So it's nothing out there is actually that dependable, except for solar, like I said. That's going to be good for recharging batteries. It's also good if you get something beyond that. A couple panels might, not be a bad idea. But with all that, like I said, it's you got to think in those terms that whatever you're using now is not going to be there, and how long can you go without it, and what are you going to do to take its place? So ham radio, of course, as long as you have power, we'll be talking right here. The repeater might be up, might be down. It's backed up by solar, not by propane. It's backed up by solar. As long as everything up there hasn't crashed, this repeater we're talking on should be up and running. So, anybody else? Any more comments?
Comment, KJ6QIN Mobile. Good evening to the Nets. Good evening, Tom. You're having a disaster fair? KJ6QIN Mobile monitoring.
Yes, I don't know if... I think there's a guy that was out there with Dave. He's going to be there also. I'm not. It's just something that is being put on up here with our Big Bear Amateur Radio Club and ECS. We'll have a booth there just handing out some flyers. So it's April 26th at the Community Church up here on Big Bear Lake. Go back to you real quick.
Thank you. Good to be back on Tech Tuesday. KJ6QIN, mobile monitoring. Go ahead.
Oh, good deal, Shelley. Glad to hear you out there. So anyway, sunshine is free, creates electricity with the solar panels. That is one thing you won't have to buy, you won't have to go out to get. If you're lucky enough to have an electric car, may charge your car up. If you got a gasoline car, get the bicycle out. I know a bicycle mobile out there, John, he's ready to go. So you got to think of all those terms, and we always say, yeah, we're going to do it, and we kind of procrastinate, and then it happens, and then it's too late. So try to make a point of at least once a week, sit down for an hour, maybe or two, on a Sunday and say, hey, you know what, let's just kind of review, okay, well, did we make any progress this week, well, what did we add, or, if we did, let's see what we're going to do and where we're at. So I recommend that to everybody. Trust me, it may save your life sometime down the road. Anyway, we'll do a last call here for questions and comments, and see who's out there. KO6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
W6POO.
W6POO, Chip, glad to have you out there.
Yeah, Tom, great topic as always. We had an earthquake preparedness meeting about 6 months ago down here at the RATS the Rats Club, and they talked about the typical stuff that we hear and we talk about, and the procrastination and everything. But one thing that was brought up that I hadn't thought of necessarily, and that is medications. There won't be any gas, there won't be any of the other materials, but the pharmacies, nothing will be open. And if you don't have if you have daily medications and you don't have a good 3 month supply or 2 month supply, there's a possibility you may run out, and hospitals may not be able to help you. So that's something that that's usually isn't on the list of things to get to, but just thought I'd toss it out there. W6POO.
Very good point, Chip. I'm glad you brought that up this evening. And actually, our ECS group, working in conjunction with the hospitals up here on some of the drills, that is, of course, one thing that's on their list of things that won't be there. But I'm glad you brought it up this evening, because that we have not talked about that part. So you have people that are diabetic. You have people who take medications for just about everything. I mean, it could be for your heart, whatever. You know, I mean, the list is huge. And if you run out, some of those things are not storable, and that gets to be a problem. So it's there. You know, there these groups are going to try to do their best to have some things on hand, but it's just not going to be, you know, something that you can almost say, yeah, that's out there. So do the best you can, like you say, Chip, and get that stuff put aside if it's something you can store. If it's something that they'll even allow you, a lot of medications, they only allow you to have like 2 or 3 months ahead of time. It's crazy. But welcome to America. Let me reset. You know, and actually, one more thing here. We had up here for our Big Bear Valley CERT, good presentation. Dr. Lucy Jones and her group, USGS, over there at Caltech, got her little munchkins out there, helpers. Putting on presentations and a good video slide and presentation, a little short videos of what they are expecting. This is not some kind of a dream. Well, maybe. No, they have, from their research, have counted out best case of what's going to happen, dependably going to happen, not when, but when this thing ruptures out. So we're going to lose Cajon Pass as far as all kinds of travel, any lines, gas lines, fuel lines, anything that goes through the pass, train lines, power lines, they're going to be gone. Banning Pass, also gone. Out that way, the main rupture, sorry, Chip, is supposed to start out there in Palm Springs. Time to move, Chip. Anyway, or Chris. Anyway, and that's what they're predicting. Now, it may not start there. It could start someplace else. But there's a lot of pressure built up, so just you guys really be careful out there. And with that said, let me reset. KO62 Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. And it's supposed to continue on through, could rupture through the valley. It goes, I think, in Cajon Pass. It goes up through the pass, and it then becomes on the north side of the mountains. That's weird. But you can follow that through USGS and all their maps. Got to be just as ready as you can be. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But you know what? I hate to say this. It is definitely going to happen. We just don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or an hour from now, or it could be 5 years from now. It could be 20 years from now. We don't know. Chances are, though, the longer time goes on, the closer we are getting to that, and the probability keeps rising. So do the best you can. Put away stuff that you can when you can. Last call for comments.
Hi, Kyle. KJ6QIN Mobile. I don't know if the word's out yet, but northern Chile, about 61 miles out in the ocean, 8.2 tonight. The west coast of the United States and Mexico and Hawaii are on a tsunami watch right now. KJ6QIN, mobile monitor.
Yeah, Shelley, we started actually Tech Tuesday. That was the first thing on the list. I know you joined us late, but that's okay. Appreciate that. FIL, go ahead.
Okay, couple things. When you said the meds, that kind of got messed up a long time ago with good old Arnold. He made it a good point to where nobody can actually get their medications and be able to stockpile them in case of an emergency. And as far as, anybody that's got anything needs to also have Mr. Mossberg and Mr. Ruger and Mr. Smith & Wesson in their go bags. KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike, yeah, that's that goes without saying. Yeah, I think somebody else is in there. Is that you, Harold? Go ahead.
Well.
Okay, is somebody else in there? Okay, guess not. Anyway, that's all good. So, we know, I mean, I was going down a week ago Thursday, and just to let you know, I was going down the front way, down 330 there, and, all these boulders, you see them out there, and of course, if you roll down, they're always coming down. We talked about the route all the way down by Lake Arrowhead and Running Springs, Highway 18 down there. There's so many big rocks. I mean, they're as big as a house. They're just sitting there, and it wouldn't take a lot of jiggling, and they're going to be on the road, destroy the road if they hit it, even if they kept going. So we know that the roads up here are just going to be toast. And I know that that's not going to be the first thing, is fixing our roads. There's so many people that are going to be in need off this mountain. So we're just basically settled into the fact the roads won't be accessible. That's just the way it is. So anyway, anybody else? All right, anyway, hope everybody stuck with us for the whole Tech Tuesday. A lot of good stuff here we're trying to put out there. Please, like I say, do the best you can, as much as you can. Do it a little bit at a time. Best way to keep from procrastinating is to set aside, maybe an hour a week, whatever you can. Say, okay, you know what? Sunday afternoon, I'll sit down and say, okay, let's see, what have I done this week? Oh, I guess that's nothing. And try to make progress as best you can, even if it's little things. Matches. How many matches do you have? Good stuff. Dry matches. There's a lot of just simple things like that. All right. QSC, this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net with our preparedness net tonight. We'll be closing the net 1,900 hours, 53 minutes. Hopefully, we hit home with some of the stuff tonight with all of you, and everybody out there, stay safe, do the best you can. This is KF6Q, returning the repeater back to normal use.